Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Webber at StuWebb.com, and it is Tuesday, September the 29th, 2020, and we just had the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And with that said, we're going to add comment. I've got Professor Paul on with me. I have Jeff on with me, and I have Heidi. Done these roundtable discussions on a couple occasions. We're going to continue doing them. But tonight, I want to talk about what was said during the debate and really what the opinion of you three are. With that, I'm going to let Paul moderate this thing. So, Paul, go ahead.
Thank you, Stu. Hello, Jeffrey. Hi, Heidi. Good of you to join us. I want to start off with just my initial assessment. It was a rock fight. What do you say about that, Jeffrey?
Yeah, a lot of rocks thrown, a lot of slinging going on from the get-go. Hard to ignore it, and some tension that you could just see and feel in the air when they both walked out. You just knew this thing was going to get ugly.
Heidi,
you know, I would say, you know, honestly, it was very frustrating. Just the fact that all the talking over one another, you know, I mean, a simple solution for that would just be to turn the mics off, you know, when the other one is talking. So, and that I would say categorically based on just even some input of friends on my social media, that would definitely be the heartbeat of contention there as well.
Stu?
Well, you know, from the beginning, I supported Donald Trump, okay, way back. Voted for him, probably changed a lot of people's opinion. I still think that there's a possibility maybe he was the guy that we put in because the people that are dead, friends of mine, and others that were arrested, just General Flynn, falsely. And other events had taken place, such as the false accusations of the Clinton people and of the Justice Department, Strzok, McCabe, and all the stuff that led to a fake dossier that they switched and made it look like there was some collusion with Donald Trump with the Russians, which there weren't, which led to a fake impeachment. Then we've got a fake coronavirus problem. Got to have masks, social distancing, shut down the economy, do all the things. Then we find out Antifa, Black Lives Matter, George Soros is behind it, others, the Democratic Party. Matter of fact, Black Lives Matter, I believe it was donated $150 million to the Democratic Party. Now, we've got these terrorists out here, and Trump was right tonight. They are terrorists. And they're terrorists on behalf of the Democratic Party. And we got this former prostitute who claims to be, what is she, a senator, claiming to be the vice presidential candidate underneath Joe Biden. Former prosecutor, both. Is everybody there still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And you've got her out there pushing. In the past couple of weeks, I've heard it out of her mouth. But, oh, yeah, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they got to continue even after the election event. There's an evil power bent, in my opinion, on the destruction of America. And that evil power seems to point not only at the Democratic Party itself and most of the Democrats on the Hill, but I can tell you, there's one hell of a lot of Republicans up there as well that are part of it. And I think you're going to see it in the hearings that what you've seen it. Mitt Romney is a perfect example of a guy that walks around calling himself a Republican, but yet he supports this New World Order idea. And they call it a democracy. Every time I hear the word democracy, I want to go friggin' crazy. I don't have a democracy. I have a constitution and a republic that I live in, not a democracy. So I see this tonight Joe Biden lost. He got nailed. Trump nailed him hard. And they don't know what to say. And the first thing the stooges do is, oh, Joe Biden won the debate, right on ABC News. And then they got Fox News, the Israeli Mossad, Mike Wallace, doing the debate. Here he is, a host with Fox News, but yet ABC puts him on. And Stephanopoulos, who was working in the White House underneath the Clintons, part of the Bushes, part of the Obamas, part of all interconnected New World Order punks, he's got his comments immediately afterwards all staged and set up to where Biden won. I think Trump kicked him in the head, and Biden didn't know what to do. And just like it was brought up about Burisma and about the Moscow mayor or governor giving $3.5 million to Biden's son. That shocked Biden. That was brought up. It shocked Biden about his son, the cocaine problem, getting honored or dishonorably discharged from the military. He didn't want that, huh? There were a lot of things that came out this evening I thought were very important, but I still favor Trump between the two.
Who do you guys think is the best liar? And start with you, Joffrey, go to Heidi, and then Stu. Who lied the best tonight? Jeffrey?
Honest opinions. Come on.
I wonder if we lost him.
Jeffrey, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Right now, can you hear me okay? Yeah. So the better liar, I mean, I think they kind of caught Joe off guard a few times. He had to look down at his notes. Now, I remember when they introduced the two potential candidates, they said, now, nobody was given the questions. Nobody knows what's going to be asked, blah, 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 blah. And there you have Joe. He's got his head down. He's reading his answers. And he kind of gets some things going. And he pops his head up and he looks and looks into the camera. And in my opinion, he denied so many things, lying by omission, in my opinion, that you just have to laugh. And this whole thing with, and I don't know if we're going to get into this, but the whole thing with voter suppression and with ballot harvesting, some time back, I just went through A to Z, and I didn't even get to the Z's because we don't have a Z, but I started with Alabama and went through and was looking up voter fraud and consequences to it. And without, every time I went through and pulled another person up and searched their name out, they were always Democrats. I couldn't find a Republican, and here's what happened. It would always be you're on probation. Yeah, well, you're caught, but you're on probation. So this whole thing with Joe covering and saying things that, in my opinion, and again, Trump had some things that he was caught a little bit off guard with. I think they had him pinned to the wall on a couple of questions. They wanted him to admit to white supremacy. They thought, okay, if we can make him a racist and point this out, and I want you guys' thoughts on this, but if we can point him out to be this racist and get him to admit who he is going to tell to back off, we got him. So they had some moments where you could kind of see it was building towards the aha, we got him moment.
And they had to throw out, if I had a comment about that racial, somewhere along through there, they had to bring up the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacists, and the militia. Excuse me, this is Mike Wallace saying this, because they're afraid of the militia in this country. Who is the militia? It's every American that supports and defends the Constitution. Every American, it says in the Constitution, everybody's a militia member. It just so happens to be that, yes, the Posse Comitatus, from that point on, there were armies of American people created. I created one myself. I admit to it. Back in 95, they didn't like that. But go ahead.
Well, I don't. I want to hear from Heidi, and then I want to explain why I asked the question that I did.
I'd like Jeff to finish his answer if he would, if you had anything to ask Jeff. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. That's fine, Paul. I guess, just winding that up, I segued a little bit on what I thought they were trying to do to Trump in a sense. Seemed like it was a little bit of a stacked deck. But no, Biden, to me, lied more often. I'm not saying Trump maybe didn't have a few things that weren't maybe off color a little bit. You kind of squinted a little bit at. But they were nothing – my reaction to those was nothing like Joe's Whoppers when he denied things. And so by omission, Joe was a great liar tonight.
Can I ask a question? Could it be the possibility what Jim Fetzer brought up on Friday on my show? You probably haven't heard it. The three of you. I don't know whether Paul did or not. And he talked about the fact that Joe Biden has these new hearing aids. Mm-hmm. Now, it happens to be that I'm checking into hearing aids for my father. He needs them. And it happens to be that the latest model is a type. This is what they're trying to sell now to everybody. You put the hearing aids in. And you hook up your cell phone, and it automatically adjusts your volume for you. Now, if everybody goes back to Friday's radio show and listen to Jim Fetzer, what he said about Joe Biden, how that they were programming him through the telephone, how he keeps reaching in his pocket,
mm-hmm.
on the telephone, so he can hear through his hearing aids what they're telling him to say.
Agreed.
Could that be? I don't know. That's what Fetzer's claiming. Now, I looked in the hearing aids. That's what they got. They're trying to sell to everybody now. These things are hooked up to 5G phones. I said, no. The old models, the kind you take the batteries and you take them out and you replace them. You're not hooked up to anything. You don't get Wi-Fi. You don't get screwed. That's what I've been looking at for my father. And ironically, they're running just as much as the new models. They want you to get the new models so they can fry your brain, part of the 5G program. Go ahead.
You're spot on that one. Heidi, I want you to take a swing at who is the better liar.
Just honestly, unequivocally, Joe Biden. It was just so obvious based on everything that I have researched. The fact that Antifa, literally, if you entered Antifa in your phone in a search and it went directly to Biden, Harris, that alone, and he was, he denied time and time and time again the very things that I know 100% were lies. If Trump is anything like myself, when I'm hearing someone right in front of me bold-faced lying, it literally takes the wind out of my sails. I'm like, are you serious? But I was proud of Trump. He stayed after him. However, unfortunately, it does kind of appear if Trump would have cut it off and mm-hmm. just called him out, like with a one-word zinger, which he's generally really good at, he would have just stuck with that rather than continuing to talk over. I think he would have won more points.
I will admit that I try to be dispassionate and to not even allow any emotion to surface when I watch debates. I watched, if not all of them, most of the Democratic debates. And my conclusion was, when Joe Biden was selected, that he was the least qualified of a bunch of suboptimal choices for the Democratic nomination. In fact, he was so bad that I would have just let the guy talk. Because I think the more Joe Biden talks, the more you understand that he's not going to be president, or if he was selected and placed in the presidency, he's never going to be in charge. I don't want to say entirely nobody's home, but I don't think he is very agile at this point intellectually. And I would have let him talk himself out of the presidency,
mm-hmm.
just as a tactic. And Trump chose not to employ that tactic. And I thought Trump came off as unhinged. But let me give you just an example of what we're up against and what Trump was up against. The whole debate was based on a false narrative. The whole thing is concocted, and it's a setup. And so if you're Donald Trump and you walk into that debate, he's already been told, we're going to say to you, Donald Trump, that rock that we threw through your window, we're going to say, Trump, you did it. So he's entering into a debate already knowing that they've thrown a brick through his window and he's being accused of being the brick thrower. Now, I bring that example up because that example comes from David Axelrod. And Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Ayers, Greg Galuza, the Jesuit, who, of course, is running everything behind the show. All of those guys are very diabolical. And the problem with diabolical is it's crazy. It's insane. And to simplify it, it's called political correctness, or calling black is white, calling evil good. And then not only do they do those tricks, but they refuse to engage with anyone in good faith. Excuse me. And so you've got a setup. The whole thing was a setup. And so what was supposed to be a debate ended up being a rock fight, because it really came down to who could embrace the false narrative, the propaganda that we're supposed to all embrace as reality. We don't get anything close to reality described to us through the mainstream media or through the globalist agenda, through the UN, through the IMF, the World Bank, through all of the institutions, and then you get down to the local level, and there are corresponding organizations to all of the institutions I just referenced. And I'm trying to make a case that if you walk into a setup, I think all of us have maybe shown up at a party or played in an athletic contest or been part of something where we said, hey, I don't have a fair shake here. I'm not going to get a chance. And I think the whole thing is a setup. And what we've got is two selected candidates. And, you know, personally, I see Donald Trump and I think, you know, I think maybe he's trying to do some good things. But I also see a guy that's been surrounded by nothing but deep state actors. And so it's kind of tough for me to take him very seriously or get on his bandwagon when he doesn't speak out about all of the lies and carefully explain to people what we're really up against. What we're really up against is a new world order. We're up against institutions like the United Nations, the World Bank, the IMF, the Federal Reserve, the City of London, the Vatican, the Bureau of International Settlements. We're up against an agenda, and they've been very clear about the agenda, at least since 1950, when Paul James Warburg said to Congress, by consent or by conquest, we're going to have one world government. That's in 1950. So I think all of us that don't understand that the globalists, the Luciferian parasitical leaders, a very small number, and they make up a parasitical cabal. And behind the scenes, they're controlling everything. They're controlling that we got Donald Trump versus Joe Biden and that we're being mocked. This is just political theater to them. This only served the purpose of further dividing people. I don't think one person that came in very few came in with an open mind to begin with. Most people who are watching already have their selected candidate. But the real issue is not voter fraud, but the fact that our votes have never really counted because they're controlling the big picture. The real agenda is never being revealed on those debates. It's like the lowest common denominator. We got to see the lowest common denominator, and we think it's the nadir. I say we can even go lower. Now, I've expressed a lot right there. Joffrey, you're first again, then Heidi, then Stu. What do you say to what I'm saying? It was a sell, false narrative.
Yeah. I think the focal point was the debate, but as I hear you talk, you know, the ripple effect, throwing the rock in the water, so to speak, all the ripples. You know, that little, what we're just seeing is the little first rock hit in the water. We're not necessarily maybe seeing as the bigger picture unfolds why. And to see what happened tonight, looking at it as somewhat of a staged event, I would say they tried to keep things somewhat peaceful with not necessarily an attack on either opponent here early in the debate. But as it went on, it seemed like it was geared more towards frustrating Trump. You mentioned he came unhinged a little bit. You could see it in his eyes. He was pretty fiery. They seemed to have questions that put him in a defensive mode where he would be and what were his hot buttons. And to me, it seems like somebody did a lot of work in preparation for the Biden team to inflame Trump, to catch him off guard, to throw some things at him that would upset him. Now, how he reacted, he probably talked too much. I got to agree with Heidi on. He could have backed off on some of his points. I think he should have. It would have looked better for him. Now he was right in expressing what he was saying, but one little answer, one little quip was probably more effective than a diatribe of information. Seeing what took place big picture, you're spot on. This is theater, but it has purpose. I had a guy that was making a comment as I was watching the debate. He texted a message, and he's a total Biden supporter. His comment was, "This is awful. I don't think I can trust anybody anymore." Now, that's kind of interesting because he's been Joe. So you got to wonder, as an audience, what are we seeing? You know, what is going on? What's taking place before our eyes? We should find ourselves drawn to either one or the other, and why this is good for the country. Very interesting. But in finishing up here real quick, the demeanor of Joe seemed to be kind of like what Stu was mentioning. Seems to me like he's got some technology working for him. Because he was talking, and pretty soon his head's down, and he's reading, and he pops up with his eyes wide open, and he's lit. I mean, he's ready to go. Almost like he's been charged with a super PAC. Or he had a neuron implant. I don't know. But it seemed a little odd to me. He would glitch once in a while. He'd freeze up a little bit. Then he'd come right back out of it. So I was expecting him to have more foibles than he did, although he stammered around quite a bit. Back to you guys.
Heidi, your turn.
You know, I definitely agree with your observation. It was very, I could just, you know, the fact that Trump was interrupted so many times by Mike Wallace, and just even the tone, even the presentation of Mike Wallace's question asking was very, very one-sided. And like you, Paul, I went into this so relaxed. I truly wanted to look at things through a neutral lens. And it sure did seem like it was stacked up against Trump. There again, Joe Biden, as I observed him, he is a well-polished, stinking liar. I was just absolutely repulsed. I thought for sure his nose was going to grow at least 3 inches during the debate. I mean, it was so obvious. But like you said, one of the things that like Jeffrey said, it was interesting how some of my friends on both sides of the aisle were remarking about how Biden certainly did appear like you, instead of being Sleepy Joe tonight, he appeared far more rested. He appeared far more aware of what he was saying. So, like Jeffrey said, you know, looking down, he was trying. I mean, at one point in time, he was very, very, very upset early on. I mean, he was fiery, fiery mad, and I'm just sure someone was like, "Rein it in, Joe." Whereas, you know, Trump is certainly trying to, you know, fan those flames. You could tell. But yeah, I think, like you all have said, and Professor Paul, I really think if Trump would have just let Joe start internally combusting, I think he would have won the debate hands down.
Stu, what say you?
Well, I'm kind of agreeing with everybody here, but all of you. But let's look at the bias of the media. Let's look at, his name is actually Chris Wallace, and his father was Mike 60 Minutes, both Mossad agents, both Israeli Mossad agents, as Trump called him during the 2000 election, the shadow of his father. This guy hates Donald Trump. He spews his crap out every Sunday morning on Fox News on your local channel with his program. He sets the New World Order agenda. Super Spooks have taught me to watch, and CIA, FBI, everybody, have taught me to watch the media on Sunday morning. Everybody should do it. If you monitor Chris Wallace, he's the guy that leads the agenda for everybody else. He's first up. And then the ABC stooges come on, the Norrell Donald's stooges and the others, and they reverse what he does. So his first question is, blah, 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 it's about COVID virus. They bring that up last in their program. But it's the same agenda. It's the propaganda that they're pumping out to the New World Order, saying this is our agenda for the week. We'll be following by this. And everybody in the intelligence community is supposed to watch the news on Sunday mornings because this is what they're setting up for. Now, if people remember during the 2000 debate, the very first debate, who's there? That broad from Fox News, I forgot her name, the little skinny one. It looks like some alien. You'd think it looked like an alien. She probably is clone. Her and Chris Wallace were the two that started attacking Donald Trump. Oh, if you lose the debate, are you going to go independent instead of being Republican? We want an answer tonight. I mean, that whole first debate in the 2000 presidential election was totally biased against Donald Trump to wipe him out. Now, haven't they done that again? We're watching it again. And who is Chris Wallace pushing? Are they pushing? Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. This election is going to be won. We are going to end up, and I can tell you right now, looking at it, and with the voter fraud, because there's only two kinds of ways to vote. One is in person. I hope to God everybody listen goes down and does it. And or if you can't be there, to your legal absentee ballot. You have to go down to your election commissioner's office or wherever their office is, and you go in and you vote early. It's called the absentee ballot. But they want to do all these mail-out ballots. I got one in the mail the other day, or 2 weeks ago. Mail it in by such and such a date, all this stuff. I mean, no. Anybody mail in a ballot. Are you registered to vote? Are they checking that? No, they're not. Trump brought that up. Fraud's already gone on. He was trying to get out about one previous one that they found out. But I'd say in the debate, I'd say Donald Trump won it. He kicked his teeth down his throat. But Joe Biden has already been president of the United States. He was vice president of the United States. He was in a position for 8 years to correct things, to make this country better. And he did nothing to push it on the New World Order agenda. Now, people say, well, you know, here, let me put it this way. Al Martin used to say, Stu, there's 13 men above the president that tells him what to do. That's the Council of 13. Those are the 12 disciples of Satan plus Satan himself telling what to do. Now, that's the aliens, fallen angel-possessed human beings. They're the ones that have their little secret labs at Papoose Lake, Nevada, the alien base that my friend Ed Slade worked at as a U.S. scientist, who answered to who? Meyer Rothschild and Lawrence Rockefeller, who were the two previous disciples of Satan. They jump in the next human being. But Trump went in, I believe, with good intentions. I don't believe it was going to be a stooge job, but I think he found out real quick what he's up against. And I think that's what part of the problem is. We, the American people, before this is all over with, said and done, in my opinion, we are going to see mass arrests of politicians. They may be hanging from trees. I don't know. But they sure are afraid of the word militia. Chris Wallace brings it up tonight. Also, it was brought up by Kellyanne Conway about Bill Barr testifying before the House and Senate Judiciary here 6 weeks ago. Oh, and they referenced nothing in the hearings about the militia. She said the militias that surrounded these capitals is what she referred to. They are afraid of the American people, folks.
Well, they better be.
Yeah.
Coming. You know, because I'll tell you what, the Americans in the heartland, they are ready for battle, and I'm one of them. I mean, I'm ready, and I'm more ready than I've ever been. Since February, I have dug in and researched more about our government, more about world government, more governance. That is going to be, of course, the hot term there. But I will say, if we just look at our population, what, 320 plus million people in the United States, and I really, Stu, you might know the answer to this question, or Professor Paul. I'd be curious at the percentage of our population, adult population over the age of 18, how many are in local, federal, or even state government positions? What is the percentage?
Because It's over a third of all people are in some way employed or connected to governments. And then when you add in the NGOs or the nonprofits or the 501c3, you've almost got half of all people who are counted as working in some capacity in government or quasi-government positions.
You're very correct with that. That includes state, local, and federal government. And that includes contractors for the government.
Yes.
About 50% of the population, our workforce. The balance that used to be, I don't know what the numbers are now, is around 120 million or 125 million working class Americans. I think that's what it totally was that was in the private sector. But you're right, 50% of it's government. And so, you know, when we talk about one of these days we're going to have to clean the government up, those that work for government in some capacity that are listening to this show, understand. You're going to have to help us out in doing it. And
Amen.
Then move up the ranks as the top get arrested for their crimes and being held for them, hopefully. Maybe they won't. Maybe people will end the problem. But either way it goes around, people have to understand our government has to stay intact. All we have to do is let those that weren't arrested rise up to the top. Keep an eye on them. And the first
Stu, to operate at a fraction of the number of government employees that we currently have, to hear the absolute raping and extraction of our assets, both by the regular employees here in the United States. You know, the extraction of our, to hear all of these various different government entities that are spending billions of dollars on a variety of things that the common folk have no clue about. Zip, zilch, and zero. And if you were to tell them about these entities or these particular, especially federal government new, yeah, I mean, just even during the Obama administration, the number of federal groups that were started to literally spy on the American people. I mean, it's and then to do mind control, MK Ultra. My brain is absolutely blown away by the spending of the common, regular, hardworking, family oriented, help thy neighbor, God loving people. I mean, we are being bent over and raped like none other by our government, and that's got to stop. It's just got to stop.
It does have to stop, Heidi.
Oh,
it's going to be us, the people, going to stop them.
Amen.
I see this election as being the catalyst to what is going to happen.
I see it as the last stand. Let me just say a couple things and get you guys. I don't mean to be contentious, but sometimes I put myself in that position because of the way I think. I see a very divided America, and the division isn't just happening in the cities versus the suburbs. It's happening within families. It's happening across generations. And what has happened in the last 70 years is the Germans surrendered, but the Nazis won. The Nazis came over here, and they created the Fourth Reich here. We are the Fourth Reich. And the debate did not even come close to addressing what you're talking about, Heidi, which are the real issues. We are up against a scientific technocracy, a scientific dictatorship, the surveillance state. We are mind controlled and propagandized, and we are just fed disinformation, misinformation. And what you've done recently, Heidi, in the last 3 to 5 years is you're starting to go through the looking glass. Well, 39 years ago, Stu, you had no idea that you were going to go through the looking glass. And once you get red-pilled, once you understand reality isn't how it's presented on the news or in kindergarten. You see, some of us think everything we learned in kindergarten applies to everybody. And that we get justice. In other words, that the bullies don't get to bully. Well, in fact, our whole lives, the world has been run by parasitical bullies, the leaders, and there aren't really that many of them. Maybe there is a committee of 300, and there probably is a ruling council of 12. But, you know, you got people worldwide, and what they're really good at is hate. And the acquisition of power, and they have hemmed us in so that we can't even have a reasonable, thoughtful dialogue about anything, because black is white, evil is good, goals like sustainability, inclusivity, resiliency. You know, all of these nebulous terms have been ingrained into the educational system, and Trump did make some good points, but it was kind of hard to hear those points amidst the rancor, because they just had two guys shouting and talking at each other, and it was just so amorphous, without shape, without form, and it made Trump look unhinged. But Trump did make that point very well. Hey, what we're teaching in our universities and our government is to hate America. And there's not going to be any unity. There's not going to be any kumbaya. There's not going to be any healing. There's not going to be any integration. There's not going to be any success. There's not going to be anything positive that happens when we teach hate. You see, there's really no difference between the KKK, which none of us on this program ever supported, and we all found reprehensible and spoke out against it, and Black Lives Matter. I heard Angela Davis in 1982, and heard Jane Fonda a year earlier, William Westmoreland, kind of, you know, all in like a year, gives you a little bit of perspective. Westmoreland said, hey, I couldn't win the Vietnam War. They wouldn't let me. Hanoi Jane, you can just imagine what she said. But Angela Davis in 1982, she said exactly what they're saying right now with Black Lives Matter. This has all been an agenda. They have an agenda of a scientific dictatorship. And they want us to use terms like communist or socialist or capitalist even. But the truth of the matter is, their agenda is totalitarianism, tyranny. And, you know, if we get distracted in these abstractions and these breadcrumb trails that they set out there that you're supposed to buy into, you can never stay focused. And you got to accept that what Donald Trump was up against tonight, once again, is they threw a brick through his window at the start of his presidency and accused him. See, in a totalitarian world, in a tyrannical world, you always accuse the other person of what you're doing. Now, I know that people want to say that's the communist playbook. It kind of is, but in reality, it's the Jesuit playbook. And I know it's really hard for some people to get off, it's the Jews. Yeah, Israelis are involved in the New World Order. Israelis are part of the agenda. And there's a lot of Babylonian Talmudic Israelis. Yeah, that's for sure. But beyond the Israelis, there are all sorts of other people. And it's just so hard to get people to understand that behind the curtain, you got the Jesuits, you got the Black nobility, you got people you've never heard of, some people you see, some people are cut out, some people are agents that are doing their role. They're all doing it through compartments. They're doing it in silos. And it is so vast, so dark, and so deep that if we don't understand that the war is spiritual and what we're up against, and I think that this last resistance that we're going to put up, it's going to happen fairly soon, and we better all be prepared. And what I suggested to Stu earlier today is, yeah, after we talk about these debates, we may have to go into, so what does it mean? Because we know there's going to be a contested election by design. This is all planned. So everyone should understand that this is planned so that you don't have a winner. And they're going to drag it out, and they're going to create more conflict. They're going to have more fire drills and more false flags. And, you know, I was hoping that Donald Trump tonight would say, hey, we got to talk the truth. We got to get real. We got to be in reality. All of this weather warfare is what set California on fire. All the floods in the Midwest and all the crops that aren't getting planted and are flooded out or not getting harvested, it's all because of weather warfare. It's because of geoengineering. And instead, we're caught in this false narrative like anthropogenic climate change. All right, I went a little wild on you guys. What we're up against is called the Delphi method. And the Delphi method, very simply, Barack Obama was excellent at it. George Bush, 41, was excellent at it. Bill Clinton was fabulous at it. And what they do is they start with a predetermined outcome. They already know what the outcome is, and then they do this process decision-making where you're supposed to believe your input mattered. But in fact, all you do is get stirred in, you get steered into particular silos, and then you think you've participated. There's too many of us that think we're part of the club. This whole democracy farce has to stop. We don't have a democracy. We never had a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. If, as Ben Franklin said, we can keep it. And right now it doesn't look to me like we can keep it. So the Delphi method, predetermined outcome, they're putting us all in our spots. We're all still divided, and we're all still trying to look to somebody else to solve a problem when we're going to have to be the solution. I want to make one final point. The longest running circulated magazine in America is called The Atlantic. And some of you guys may remember Thoreau and Whitman and, you know, a lot of people that kind of had some pretty good ideas and they told the truth and pretty impressive if you read their stuff. But The Atlantic magazine, and it longest in circulation, it operates on the basis of on its merits. So every issue is presented on its merits. And what that means is we're gonna give you one big idea, what seemingly is a good idea, and we're just going to talk about that idea and nothing else. Well, the problem with on its merits is on its merits ignores a fundamental fact of life, and that is complexity and conflict. And there are a lot of good ideas out there, and I think this group has a bunch of good ideas, and I think our listeners have a bunch of good ideas. But the problem is every idea that we have does not exist in isolation as The Atlantic magazine presents to the reader, or as they present to us by the party system. You see, you have this Republican Party and this Democratic Party, and you're supposed to say, well, I'm going to be loyal to one, and the bad guys are on the other side. We all have to get open-minded. And, you know, I have a lot of liberal friends. I really do, and a lot of them are really good people. And what they really want is a better world and a better life for their kids too. And so we got to be really careful, I think, with how we go forward. This debate was nothing but divisive. And I'm kind of at the point where I want to keep people engaged, and I want to win people over and awaken people, but I also know that we got people wearing masks everywhere. And Heidi, there may be a resistance out there, but not the mask wearers. So I hope there's a lot of non-mask wearers out there that are willing to say, hey, we're not going to buy COVID anymore. We're not going to buy all these false narratives. And what I guess really hurt me tonight more than anything was Donald Trump played by their rules, and he lean into the false narrative. Back to you guys. I've talked enough.
And I think you nailed it. That's exactly, I kept thinking, no, stop listening to the questions, stop listening to Biden, just share what your agenda is. I wanted to scream that as I'm reading or as I'm watching this. Watching things unfold, I could not believe how much he listened, and I thought that was probably his biggest, I mean, I hate to say it because that is one thing I tout is we need to be good listeners, but in this case, when you're opposing a bold-faced 100% liar that has been in office for how many decades, you know, I mean, my gosh, I mean, that's just
47 years.
It was just absolutely frustrating. And then the fact, like, unfortunately, so many people do, when a person is lying, they'll of course, target you as the object and categorically make a statement, you know, a statement against your character, and then just, That's what sticks. That's what someone will recall is the statement that they made about you versus any proof behind it. And that's what I kept seeing over and over again. I will say I was proud of Trump that he did keep reiterating, you know, key points, but it really did look, quite honestly, I just wish he would have just continued to share his own agenda, because that's how he could have won it tonight.
I just don't think many people changed their mind. I think Biden looked incompetent and Trump looked unhinged. Jeffrey, Stu, you guys want to wrap this thing up for us?
A little bit of this, I guess, is, I would say is, you know, we place our hope in a candidate. We place our hope in an idea. I really like what you did, Paul, with pulling back out of the myopic viewpoint of, look at these two guys, look at these two candidates. You know, we're placing our hope in our you know, country's future on the shoulders of these two men. Step back. Everybody listening audience, pull away from that a minute. Step back and say, okay, where am I truly placing my hope? What is my hope in? I am putting the weight of myself, in a sense, on Trump's shoulders, because I think a little bit he gets caught off guard by, well, wait a minute, I don't necessarily want Rye. They brought up a comment about the FBI director. Well, maybe you shouldn't be there. So there's comments about, is Trump part of all of this? And to a degree he is, but to a part of it, I don't think he knows. I think he's let himself know certain things that maybe he's been unaware of, and now he's made aware. And I think he wants to do good, and I think he's fighting for a degree of us. But, yes, he's fighting against something that's so entrenched. When you talked about it, Paul, this doesn't just start now. This goes back so far. These are directives that have been brought down for so long. A good example, I guess, real quick, too, is, you know, when we were in the war in Vietnam, the Tet Offensive, yeah, and Walter Cronkite comes on and says, there's no way we can win this war. Well, okay, that was a turning point. He got on, he made a comment, and a military friend of mine told me, he said, you know, that's when we lost the war. When he made that comment, that empowered those people, said, you know what, they're not going to back him. The American people aren't going to back. Walter Cronkite is the voice of America. He just spoke this. We've won. Now we can go after him. So Walter Cronkite was viewed as some kind of an idolic figure to a lot of people. And really, the guy was an idiot, in my opinion.
A criminal.
Very, very criminal. So I guess what I would say in winding up is, you know, our hope cannot be solely in a candidate. We have to rely on each other. Audience, we have to rely on you. All of us rely on each other. But yet we do hope and want the best for the country. But apart from Christ and apart from the spiritual element, you know, we're never going to get utopia here on earth. But it doesn't mean we don't want better. And I think what we want is better. And I think Trump will try to do that in the situation. But we have to help each other. We can't totally rely on him.
I've provided a lot of dissent from conventional wisdom here and tried to convey a different mindset or a counter-narrative to what the media and what community and society foist upon us. Heidi and Stu, you guys, what do you have to say in closing with the debate and what I've tried to do here this evening?
Go ahead, Heidi.
Well, I really appreciate what Jeffrey was saying. You know, ultimately, my hope, thank the good Lord, is in him, in the Lord, and not in man, not in government. Government is not to be our hope. And I think what we are seeing, even like I said earlier, just I think what we are seeing is two imperfect men. Do I believe that Trump is doing a much better job and has done a better job in government? Yes, in his short period of time. But what I will say is I thought this probably even before Obama was elected, that we the people of the United States of America, we have got to rise up, we've got to organize, and we've got to flush the House our government is literally a mess, and we need to put God as, he's got to be the Godhead of our country, and he certainly has not been. You know, one of the things, I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful to know that the Lord, that I can put my complete, absolute, 100% trust in God and God alone. I do want to quickly also mention kind of an interesting backdrop. I don't know, and I'm sure you guys noticed this as well, but the backdrop of the stage said the Union and the Constitution forever. And I found that very interesting. So.
Wow. Good catch.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. So we the people, we need to rise up. That's, I guess, my number one wind up in all of this.
A constitutional republic, if you can keep it. Stuart Webb, what do you say?
I'm in agreement with what you said. Totally in agreement. It really comes down to, you know, we have to put our faith in God. We're at the final battle. We're at the big picture. Whether anybody wants to believe it or not. But, hey, I'm still going to vote for Donald Trump because out of the two evils, should we say, he's the best, not being evil, but what he's up against. I think the man walked in an office not knowing what he really was getting ready to face. And he probably saw him shapeshift a few times, some other crazy shit, and now he knows what he's up against. He's been semi-compromised. He can only do so much.
I saw Don Jr. on. And Don Jr. and even Don Sr., they look very human. I mean, I know that Donald Trump is a very flawed human being, but at least he's human. And Don Jr. looked absolutely like a guy that you could go hunting with. I kid you not. He just seems that authentic. And I know that he's been around people that you know, that I've only seen as speakers at conferences. And, you know, I think at the time I ran into Wolfowitz and some of those other guys at a resort in Arizona. And I have to tell you, being 2 feet from Paul, well, I've been, you know, 2 feet from a lot of these people, but Wolfowitz absolutely creeped me out so bad. I just thought I was looking at evil personified, and everyone around him was behaving like a chimpanzee. But anyway, it goes back to, I want to try and simplify things a little bit from my own mind. I have two brothers, and I think the world of both of them. And my middle brother said to me, he said, hey, the agenda of the left is pretty clear. They're for murdering babies. They're for the takedown of America. Everything that they say they stand for, I don't believe in. So you know what? I'll never vote for those people. And, you know, I can go intellectual and say, well, you know, they've had this plan for a long time, and they saw us coming, and they were going to put us in a silo or try and contain us, and they just had resources. And he's saying, yeah, maybe so. But that doesn't mean I can't occupy and resist. And so I guess my final line for this evening is, it's occupy and resist time right now, and we better all get in prayer and figure out what we're supposed to be doing. Any last words from you guys?
I don't want to say it, brother.
Heidi, Jeffrey, you want to lead? Do you want me to lead?
Sure, you bet. I think it's important we pray for ourselves and our country. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you gave us. Thank you for the ability that we could observe tonight, men, and it's truly men, and we know that you are our hope, and we've totally misplaced confidence. We put it in men and not you. Forgive us for that.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive this century for the sins that we've committed against you. And Heidi mentioned earlier that, you know, you remove God, and we remove God from just about everything in this country. What do we expect to get? Heavenly Father, we have pushed you aside, and we have to take responsibility for that, for letting it happen to sins of generational sins, and where it's gotten to this point, Lord. We have been a disappointment, I am sure. So sorry. We are so sorry for this. But yet we can call upon you, and now is the hour to call upon you when you can be found. There will come a time when we cannot call upon you anymore. And this is the time. In this country, the situation is precarious, and there's so much evil being pointed out, just like tonight, that all three of you on here tonight pointing out things that are nefarious in this country. And, Lord, you see it, and you see our hearts, and you see where we need to be. Would you please bind us together and let your people speak? Let your people be heard. Let your people come to the surface. This is the time. This is the hour when we need to be accountable. We need to be called forward in your name. We need to be victorious through you, not through ourselves, not through putting our hope in the candidate, although we support certain people. Lord, we are asking you for your protection. And again, just in just doing this show and things that Professor Paul and Stu have go on around them, would you just protect them? Because this needs to be done. We need your protection for them. This is taking the battle to the enemy, and spiritually as well as just right down here on earth, and you see it, Lord. Protect these men for what they're doing and encourage them and encourage all of us and the listeners. Be on our knees. Let's all be in prayer. We can make this a better place through Christ any other way. So we ask to call in your name, Jesus, in your blood. And those who maybe don't know you, I would pray that they would. Eternity is a long time. Think of being without you for eternity, with a whole eternity to question, well, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I call upon? Why didn't I? Why not covered by the blood of Christ? The time is now to do that. So salvation is here. Salvation is now. I pray for you who maybe have not known the truth that you would come. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you for this evening, Lord. Gentlemen and this lady. Amen.
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 Power of four being in the same accord. Anyone else want to pray, or should we wrap it up and pick up again soon?
I think I'm in agreement 100% with Jeff Spur here, but go ahead, Heidi. What'd you say?
I would like to pray too, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Father God, we cry out to you. We are broken. We are a broken nation. Yet while we are still that city on a hill, Lord, there's still a remnant of us who are called to be that salt and light in the world. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would just protect our borders, protect us from within. I pray for the BLM protesters. I pray, like Stu said the other night, I pray in Jesus' name that they would be saved. I pray that those who are in Antifa would be saved through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, that they would turn their wicked ways, turn from their wicked ways to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the people of our country to rise up and be bold, to calling evil evil, not being fearful of being censored, not being fearful of being ashamed, that we would have a warrior-like attitude, Lord, that we would each day before we even put our feet on the floor, that we would put on your full armor of God, that we would protect our minds. Our minds are under siege in ways that we had no idea was even capable. But, Lord, we know the battle is in the spiritual realm, and we pray a blood protection, the blood of Christ protection, a hedge of protection around our entire country. Lord, we are calling upon you to do a mighty work on the hearts and minds of each and every person who is within these borders. Lord, I pray that you would just flush this filth, the evil that haven't and will not turn their eyes and their hearts over to you. Lord, flush them. rid this country of that so that we can once again rise up and be used as your hands and feet, leading people, the multitudes, to Christ as their saving grace, their lover of their heart and soul. And Lord, we just pray this and we commit this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. I'm in agreement. Wow. Well done, crew, on the prayer, certainly, and your commentary, very insightful. And I leave these programs thinking, wow, in 60 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it's been, more truth comes out during this time than you're going to get with 10 years in mainstream media, because you're never going to get any truth on that. So thank you, guys, and we'll pick it up again soon.
Okay, and I want to add something, because I did post up several links that the cyber attacks against StuWeb.com by the United States government, folks, and the Israeli Mossad combined. And I'm getting ready to put up, when I put up the show tonight, I'll stick up the one of cyber attacks by the NSA alien base in Bluffdale, Utah, blacklisted. This was on the 24th, but I just want to let you know, folks, I'm going to continue hosting the government. So maybe eventually I get one of them prosecuted for all these millions of cyber attacks that have gone on against my website that I have proof and evidence on. Well, I'm going to be probably every day putting up lists, folks. These are the current ones. So if you got a website, you might want to close them out.
Dude, you are a real warrior, and we are privileged to get to be here with you. And I want to call upon all the listeners, you know, please go to Stu's website. You know, he needs to be compensated for his time. It takes so much time and effort. Whatever you can, we need to flood Stu and whistleblowers and our churches. We've got to give whatever we can, giving abundantly to those who are sharing truth. I'm done.
You're here.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. A good night to all, or good morning to all, or whenever you hear this. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you all. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, Paul.
You bet. Guys.
God bless you all. Good night.
God bless.
Have a good one. Good night.
You bet. Bye.